Welcome to Black Dog Diaries, a collection of six conversations about depression between people who have had depression. We aren't experts in the field, nor are we offering medical advice. We're simply sharing our own experiences as we manage depression and our mental health. We hope to illustrate that you never really know what's going on behind the scenes, to remind you that you're not alone in your mental health struggles, and to leave you with some great things to do to look after your mental health. Please watch out for naughty language and dark subjects. In episode 6 of 6, I talked to Jeremy Cope about how bullying led to body dysmorphia and self-confidence issues, loneliness and dying alone, and constant depression and keeping his mind busy. Jeremy is 33. He is a freelance photographer and filmmaker at Blacklight and is the talent behind some of Base 3's most inspiring content. Without Jeremy, Black Dog Diaries would not have come to fruition because I never would have followed through without his direction and gentle nudges. Enjoy my chat with Jeremy.
But it was Black Dog, scary. Black Dog Diaries, and then Emin told me that Black Dog is another term for depression.
Which I think is really odd because dogs are supposed to be man's best friend, and they're like happy.
But yes, but or are they? Is it more that's your companion because they'll never let you down or something?
That's good. Levels, yeah. I always think of it. I say I'm in my cave. I'm going into my cave.
That's I've heard that before. Going into your cave. Sorry,
the word I made that up. Actually, I stole that from my friends, so I know that I didn't make it up. You've been thinking about yours, your black dog.
So my black dog.
Or your beagle.
And mine, I mean, let's preface this now. Like, anyone who really knows me knows that I've got a lot of
issues.
I'm very odd.
In a really good way.
In a funny way, I guess. But I've been trying to narrow it down. Conversational piece of thing. So let me start by saying I am a child of divorce. And my parents split when I was around 3. I don't really remember it.
I was going to say, do you remember?
At all. Okay. I remember when I was about 6, my dad sat me down. I could have been 5, I could have been 8, I don't know. But I remember my dad sitting me down in my room with my oldest brother, my only brother at the time. And he was obviously, he's 2 years, 3 years older than me, 2 years older than me. So I guess the conversation was more for him, but I was there and I obviously just spaced off. I remember spacing off, just thinking, not even thinking this is the most boring conversation, not even knowing what was comprehending what was happening.
Right.
So they had a chat about why they got divorced. I couldn't remember the reason.
Okay.
To this day, don't remember the reason. And I have never talked about it since that day.
Had you talked about it before then?
No, like that was the only conversation I've ever had when I was about 5, okay. 6, 7 or 8, however old it was.
Right.
That's the only conversation that I remember that I've talked about my parents' divorce.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's, I've repressed it. I have no idea. But it's never been on my mind. And it's not something I think about.
Yeah.
And I don't have feelings about it. I'm very emotionless about it. It just is what it is. But this is probably a reason. I guess any therapist, what's that common thing therapists always say, and how's your relationship with your mother or your father? Like, so I'm guessing it's got something to do with it, right? Surely it would.
But why have you thought of that? So you've been thinking about,
well, I've been thinking about notes about what I'm going to say for this.
Were you digging around and looking for something that was traumatic?
I was just thinking why am I weird? So I was just sort of backtracking. It's probably a divorce thing, I guess, maybe. Because as a child, that's probably a traumatic experience, I guess.
I can imagine.
Right, yeah. So that's why I'm just guessing here.
Okay.
It could be completely off, but I'm just guessing. So it's child divorce, and then mum moved back to Oz. My brother also went to Oz. I stayed in Dubai with dad. So he went to boarding school, my brother. So we were split, but at a later age, I would have been about 9 when he went off to boarding school.
Yeah.
I went as well, but I didn't do too well. Okay. I was there a year and I didn't handle it very well.
Why? Do you remember?
No, I remember I stole something and I got suspended. Then that was probably a factor for my dad to say, you're getting on the plane back to Dubai so I can look at yours, you know, keep an eye on you or something. So then from then on, we were sort of split, I guess. And my brother stayed in Oz to this day, still stayed in Oz. And I've been, grew up in Dubai.
But so were you kind of an only child?
Well, to that extent, I kind of was, because I didn't really have a normal relationship as a brother's would.
Right.
Because we, from about 9 and he was 11, we were then sort of split. He was in boarding school and I was in Dubai. So from then onwards, I didn't really have, I mean, I had a brother, but he didn't live here. I never really saw him other than summer holidays type thing.
I was just thinking about your, because you always say how you isolate yourself.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if that's like, you know, if you're alone, if you have no sibling.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Well, no, it might be.
Did you spend a lot of time by yourself?
Yeah. Well, this is what we're getting into, right? So I come back to Dubai. I'm in Dubai with my brother. And then I was bullied quite a lot in school. Not in my later years, like year 12 and 13. We have 13 years in Dubai, for those who don't know. So in year 12 and 13, I wasn't really bullied then because the group of students gets smaller as the years go up.
Right.
So I think we were a bit tighter as a group. I think there's only 40 of us maybe, in comparison to like year 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, where it's like hundreds. So I was bullied in school. I was very skinny. I was very like just
wiry, as you wiry would say.
As I was like super like afro hair, like just like a little runt.
How old were you bullied up until? Sorry, what age is
I would say I was about year 12 maybe. People wouldn't
but
think
what age is that?
6, 17.
Oh wow, that's like
16, 17. Yeah, people wouldn't think if someone ever listens to this from my school, they would think he wasn't bullied, but I was.
Okay.
Like in a different way, not like physical
bullied?
Yeah, not like physical
what
bullying.
What did they say to you?
Oh, just like, because I was so skinny, like so small height wise as well, just emotionally bullied sort of thing, like not part of the cool clique, not part of the friend clique. I was always a bit weird sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
back then.
So back then,
I can see a common theme.
Yeah. So it just wasn't a really good time.
So did you go into any depression then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would that be?
But I didn't know it was depression at the time.
Okay. But
it was just
was that kind
it was,
of the first?
To be fair, it was more anger.
Okay.
Than depression.
Like teenage angst.
I guess so. It was more just like punching the wall. Like repeatedly until like my hands bled sort of thing.
Was it like the first time that you had experienced that? So could you say that this was like when
this is probably the start of it.
Depression started?
Like? Yeah. I used to, I wouldn't say cut myself, but I used to get like razor blades.
Yeah.
You know, like shaving. Yeah. I would just get the razor of a shaver, not take them out, but I'd still have with the razor, but I would just like scratch my arm.
Huh.
Sort of thing.
For blood or
no? I don't know why. I just thought. Okay. I think.
No, I was just wondering. Was there like a goal? Like,
no,
were you like,
no.
I'm gonna do
like,
this?
It wasn't like self. Well, it was self harm, but it wasn't like I'm gonna kill myself or anything. It was more just like, oh, this would be kind of cool. People will ask me how I got the scratch, and that will make me interesting, and maybe that will make me cool.
Okay.
Right. That's what the sort of goal was for.
Okay.
For that, but now looking back, it's definitely just self harm and just stupid nonsense. Right?
Yeah.
So the bullying then led to a lot of insecurities.
Okay.
And this is where my depression kicks in more so than, I don't want to say more than most because I don't know what other people think.
Yeah.
But it kicks in more for me. So the insecurities came. So body dysmorphia, I've briefly discussed on a podcast with Craig maybe a year ago or two. So that's a huge one because I was so skinny and I was so runty and I was so ratty, if you will. That made me feel just terrible. So then I sort of developed an eating disorder. Don't want to put on too much weight. Don't want to not eat. So I'm still skinny. So that's a massive insecurity, and that insecurity, along with the bullying, led to a lot of underconfidence in myself. And so those two things there led to loneliness for me. Loneliness is my biggest sort of depression bout that I have.
I wonder, sorry, just going back to the dysmorphia, the body stuff, like not to put blame anywhere at all.
No.
I wonder if you would have had that if you weren't being bullied about that.
I don't know, maybe.
Like obviously you can have body image stuff from anywhere, like social media, from someone halfway across the
world. Well, we didn't have social media back then, but but still like other people, like, but I'm sure other people in school went through it, like body dysmorphia. Like if you were the overweight kid, I'm sure. You would have been embarrassed because we used to do skins, no skins, and skins in PE. Like, if you were playing football or soccer, and it was like two teams, like they'd be like, "Right, boys, you're skins, take your shirt off, and you're not skins." So if there was an overweight child, or a super skinny child, it's definitely like harmful because you'd see like the fit kid, be like, "Oh,
yeah,
you know what I mean?" Like,
comparing yourself,
to that. And I'm sure it's worse with females.
Yeah,
I'd imagine. Yeah. Especially when you go swimming and stuff.
Yes, I remember those
days. So, yeah. Body dysmorphia. It's insecurities, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's just led to, like, present-day loneliness.
But why? Sorry.
Yeah, go on.
Like, why?
Yeah, but so, yeah.
How do you think that stemmed into loneliness? Is that something that you yourself do because you're like, I don't want to be seen by other people.
Yes.
I don't want to be judged by other people, so I want to stay home.
Definitely part of it.
Definitely part of it.
So, I mean, I know now that I'm lonely because I am body dysmorphic.
Still?
I have a lot of insecurities still. And my fear, essentially, I guess it's a fear, is that no one will love me because I think like this or I am like this. So I sort of stop people coming in to avoid getting hurt. So I just shut the door completely to avoid that whole process anyway. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? It does. Yeah.
It is just crazy what's going on in that
head of yours. Yeah. Crazy. So I've had 3 girlfriends in my life.
Okay.
And I'm 33.
Yeah.
Which I think is not that many. I don't know. I don't know what the average age is or number is. Right. So the first girl, I was about 16, maybe 17. She cheated on me. That didn't help.
Okay. Please don't tell me it was with a guy with an amazing body.
Probably was. It was. I don't know who it was with. No, I don't know who it was with. But she cheated on me.
Okay.
I talk to her still today. Not like every day, but if I see her randomly, I'm like, oh, what's going on? Like, you know. Second girlfriend was in Oz. She was way out of my league. So that was 16. My second girlfriend was in Oz, so I was about 24. And I had just now gotten into shape, and I was like super jacked. And I was like, yeah. So I got a really hot girlfriend, but she was way out of my league. So that was not good. because obviously you get a lot of guys give her attention.
Yeah.
And that didn't help my insecurities, right? So that just made it worse.
You're your own worst enemy.
And then I have another one. My current sort of situation going on now, which I don't want to get into because it's very complicated and I don't want to bore people.
Yeah, we don't have enough time for that on this podcast. But
she's also very emotionally damaged and psychologically damaged as well.
Okay, so you've say that you have dysmorphia. So back when you were being bullied and you developed this dysmorphia or this self-image, it kind of spiraled into a depressive state.
Yeah.
You're saying you still have the same self-image dysmorphia
today
issue.
Yeah.
Are you still in a depressive state?
Yeah. I'm constantly in a depressive state. When I go home at night and I go to bed, I'm really sad. I don't cry.
Yeah.
I don't cry that much. I mean, I've definitely cried, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't cry that much. Maybe I'm fighting it. I don't know. But I go to bed, I'd say 7 nights a week. Of a 7-night week, I probably go to bed sad, 5.
So...
And by sad, I mean, because I'm alone. No one's going to love me.
Yeah. So it's kind of like...
Why am I alone?
You're like a superhero, you know? Yeah. During the day, you, go out and do your stuff.
So this is the thing I said to you.
And then you go home and you take off your...
And then I'm by myself.
And you're and your black dog again.
Which is why I took those photos of the... superheroes doing normal things.
That's another rabbit hole.
I mean, for me to have a girlfriend, or if I was to get a partner, I would give them 1,000% of my love and energy, but I am also 1,000% sure that I wouldn't get that back from them.
Wow.
So I don't bother trying it. I'll try it. I'll go on a date or two or three, and instantly I'll just be like, no. I'm not getting what I want from you or something. So I don't even humor the situation because I don't want to get hurt already. I've already decided, no, this is not going to work. I'm going to get hurt by you.
So we've had conversations where we've stated that we're quite matter of fact about our issues.
Yeah.
And that we're very aware, as aware as we think we are of them.
Yeah.
If you know this.
Yeah.
Do you do anything about it? Because you know.
No.
Is it the way you want to live?
Well, I'm 99% sure that I'll die alone. In my head.
Okay.
I know, and I've accepted it, which sounds quite sad. And a lot of people might think that's bullshit. No, I'm 99% sure I'll probably die alone.
So you've spoken to me about stuff.
Yeah.
I think you've said you've got a couple of other people that you would.
Yeah.
Potentially speak to.
Yeah.
Would you ever think about speaking to
a therapist?
A therapist?
Yeah. Yeah. I have thought about it. Okay. And I have...
That's the first step.
I have made a step. I have made a conscious decision to find someone. But at the same time, I'm not made of money.
Mm.
And a lot of therapists that I've been looking at here are like 1,000 dirhams a session. So maybe there are some others. I'm sure there are cheaper ones.
Maybe some people know, because I'm sure that's a really common theme.
Yeah.
People can't afford to.
Yeah, yeah. But it is expensive. Because I've been looking into it. Like,
okay.
And only recently, and I say recently, I literally mean about 2 weeks ago, did I ask my dad if he knows a therapist.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I'll help you look. But I don't really talk to my dad about that type of stuff because he's quite old school. You know, job, 9 to 5, save 10% of your savings, blah, 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 you know. But yeah, no, so yeah, I thought about it. Yeah, and I will actively try and push it, but at the same time, and I'm happy to talk about it, by the way.
Yeah,
like, as I don't talk about it to people, but if someone asks me a question, I will gladly talk about it, like we are right now. Like, I'm very okay with it. I laugh about it almost. Like you said, you've almost embraced it, and I have, which is why I think I'm accepting that I
have. But you're saying you're unhappy.
Yeah, constantly. Yeah. I'm only happy when I'm doing certain things. One is training in the morning.
Yeah.
6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I train at 6 a.m. is because it's now part of my routine.
Right.
I see my favorite people, bar Charlie, because she left me. Separation. no, but, you know, so I see, you know, like Ricardo's great friend, Omar, you know, Tracy, Harry, when he was there, like 6 a.m. I'll schedule my day and my work around my 6 a.m. gym session.
Okay,
unless otherwise, like if a work shoot comes in, it's like, no, you have to be here at 5 or something. I'll cancel work. I'll cancel the gym, obviously. Yeah. But my day
mostly gets scheduled.
Gets suited around gym.
That's
which is great, I think. But at the same time, is it also bad that I'm shutting out other experiences because I have to go to the gym at 6 a.m.?
What would happen if you shut out? What would happen if you didn't go to the gym?
I don't get asked to do things all the time, but like if I got asked to go to dinner, I'd be like, oh, what time? Like, oh, probably go at 9. Nah, probably not. I'd probably say no because I got to get up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. to go to the gym. So I'm missing out on that experience of being around people and friends and stuff. But I'm okay with it. Like,
yeah,
I'm
but
like, yeah, that's what
no. I think you always miss out on something if you, like, every opportunity you have to turn away something else. So if you're prioritizing and you value activity,
well, I mean,
and
yeah,
if you value the people you're seeing,
yeah,
then.
So the base, obviously, is massive.
Yeah.
And Craig and yourself, and I don't tell you this enough, but you guys have been massively supportive in my journey, we'll call it.
Mm.
So if you remember the...
You're welcome.
If you remember the... what was it, Christmas present? Or the birthday present or something? The cookbook that we made?
Yes, the recipe book.
That Emma...
Yes.
Emma Wood, shout out. So graciously helped make.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And Chow, of course. My note was like, you don't even know how much you've helped me, right? And I stand by that. Like, you really don't. Because of this, what we've just been talking about, right? So there's that. There's rugby recently. I got back into rugby after surgery in my knee, and mentally I wasn't ready, but I'm recently back into rugby. So that's another thing that keeps me happy because I get to hit people. So if I do feel anger, I can hit someone. And gaming is another one. I game a lot, as in video games for those listening. I got buddies in America. My best friend's in America.
So that's like a weird version of connection.
And I game with him. Yeah, companionship. I game with him. And videography. I like creating stuff. So when I'm working, I'm not sad because my mind is busy creating something fun. So I was just making these videos the other day that I just released for the precision stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so much fun making it. Like beforehand, I was like, oh, I've got to kind of do this. Like, but then when I was making it, I was like, oh, no, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. It's going to be cool. It's going to have some heartbeats here and whatever. Love it. Like, and it keeps me busy and I'm happy, right? But then as soon as work finishes, sadness hits in.
And you're with yourself
and
again.
I'm back at myself and that sadness kicks in. And then I go to bed, as I said, like very sad. And I'll often like lie there, like, why am I like this? As you know, as I'm sure most people think, like, why am I like this? Or like, fuck, I should be doing this. I'm a photographer. I never big myself up. I don't think I'm cocky. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I'm cocky at all. I never push my work on people. If people like my work and they want to use me, great. But I never really push it on people.
That goes back to your underconfidence, I think.
Yeah.
All of that,
well,
just
that
stems
possibly,
back
yeah.
from
but,
thinking
that I think
people
aren't
going to
like
you.
I'm a pretty good photographer. Like,
you're very good.
I'm better than most of the stuff I see.
Yeah.
It's subjective, but I think I'm pretty good. But I'm like, why am I not taking photos of that person on a boat in Portugal or whatever? Like, you know, or why am I not in Australia filming this or filming that? You know, which leads to the end of confidence. But then again, that leads to my depression and sadness.
So I kind of, I mean, obviously,
I think I've said enough. You can
again, I'm not probe, a, probe I'm not away. A therapist.
Yeah.
Or I have a clue in any way, shape or form. But kind of going back to what I was saying in my conversation about getting into a positive, gaining positive momentum upwards and out of the hole.
Yeah.
I feel like you're kind of doing those things. Yeah. Like if I was doing the things that you say that you do,
yeah.
I don't feel like I would be going to bed sad. So you've got like the coping mechanisms in there, but they kind of only carry you so far, right? Like you still go to bed in the same state every night. Do you think that this is something that you can help yourself with?
I mean, I probably could. Like, if I was to see a therapist, like, I probably would.
No, that's what I mean. Right? So, like, you on your own.
No.
Because I like, feel like you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not getting you anywhere, ultimately. No. If you say you're in the same state over a long period of time.
Well, I'm very unmotivated. Unconfident is one thing, but I'm also very unmotivated to help myself.
Right.
I'll help other people.
Yes.
Like, friends. Not randoms, but friends. I'll help in a heartbeat. Like, if you were to call me and we're like, oh, I need this. I'm like, I'll do it. I would say I would drop like 95% of the time, whatever I'm doing. I'm like, all right, no, okay. Needs my help, I'll do this. Or to whoever. Like,
do you care about
friends. I'm motivated in that sense. Yeah. But I'm not motivated to better myself. Like, I've just accepted it. This is, which is why I've accepted that I'll probably die alone. Right? So it's a little sad, but like, I'm whatever with it. Like, I'm 33 now, like, sort of thing. I don't feel like I'm too
you're
old.
You're pretty much at the end of thing, your
like,
life, you
bastard. No, but I don't think I'm too old. But at the same time, it's almost like, I'm kind of, whatever. I'm kind of getting old now.
I reckon you're going to get
like,
hate, you know what I
mean? Who knows? Like, prove me wrong. Maybe someone prove me wrong. Maybe someone will come into my life and blow my mind. Yeah. Like, and inshallah, like, hopefully. Mm. But the way I think, no. I've just accepted it. Like,
I am going to give you homework.
Yeah, which you I probably won't do, but I probably won't do it because I'm not, it's not, it's to better me. If you were to say, I need you to do this for me, I would more likely do it. If you were just like, oh, read this, I'm like, nah, I can't be fucked. Like, I just don't want to. Like, it doesn't interest me. Even though it's helping me, I'm no interest in it. And that's a problem.
Self-destruction.
It's a switch in my head that I can't turn off. And this is one of the things I would see the shrink about.
Right.
Yeah, I've been rambling.
Okay, so yeah, your homework is to
find
somebody that you can talk to. And see if that can
well I got you guys
no but we don't know what we're talking about
no but it helps right at least you know
no it doesn't
like I haven't told any of that to anyone before like we laugh about depression and stuff like oh sometimes we're sad and but I haven't told anyone about my loneliness before
to be clear it's not a funny we don't think depression is funny. we just laugh at ourselves
I briefly had a conversation with Craig on the last podcast about the body dysmorphia stuff I said I learned what it was more recently. I think it's been like 6 years now that I learned what body dysmorphia actually was, but I've suffered with it for a long time. And my family is somewhat overweight. And I don't want to be like that. But at the same time, I don't want to be skinny anymore. Mm. Like, just levels and stuff, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
We're going to go back to the homework. And everybody who's listening, the three people out there.
Oh, actually, sorry. Before one more final thought, before you give me homework. I also don't, I don't want this to change people's perceptions of me. This is, again, insecurity. So I don't want this now to change, you know what I mean?
I don't think
not that it would, this is probably an egotistical thing, but I, you know what I mean? I don't,
I
don't want people to feel sad for me now. Like,
no, I think.
Not that they would, but.
It could be we're both sad and
I know.
And have issues, so we just see the same thing. Yeah. But I feel like. When I have conversations with people that are surprising, I'd be like, oh, you're fucked up as well.
Yeah,
I feel like,
join
the club.
Yeah.
It's quite a big club. So I don't think anybody would do that. And if they do, those are the type of people we don't want to hang out with.
Shoo.
Probably the guys from high school that bullied you.
Yeah.
Okay, so your homework is, you know what the homework is. You're going to find a therapist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, one that doesn't cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone out there,
if you do have recommendations,
in exchange.
I'm all ears. Yeah, okay. I will not instigate the conversation to anyone, but if they want to instigate it to me,
okay, guys,
by all means, yeah,
let's do it. GoFundMe, except not me. Oh, maybe money.
Nah, I don't want to take people's money.
All right.
All right, cool.
Thanks, Jeremy, for
sharing. Not a problem.
I'm going to get on your back about that.
Yeah.
See you next time.
In a bit.
Thanks for listening to the final episode of Black Dog Diaries. And thank you so much for sharing your story, Jay. This one really stuck out for me. Although Jeremy and I have spoken so much about our stuff before, I never realized the full depth of his, and I came away feeling really helpless. As you can imagine, hearing that a friend is resigned to living an unhappy and lonely life is really horrible, and it makes me wonder what somebody should do if they know someone they care about is going through something but are not quite sure how to support them. Because depending on the severity of the issue, it could be a really delicate situation to navigate. From what I gather, there are a few simple ways. One, reach out and let them know you're concerned and that you're there, especially if you notice they've started isolating themselves. If they don't respond, it's important to just keep trying so they know that a friend cares enough to reach out. Two, find a good time to talk when both of you are relatively relaxed and have enough time to discuss everything without being rushed. Three, be a good listener. Let them guide the conversation. Instead of offering advice, ask questions to try to understand what they're going through and highlight their coping abilities and strengths. Also, sharing your own experiences might help to demonstrate that they aren't alone. Four, encourage them to seek help and offer to make the appointment and accompany them if you think they might need it. But know when to back down and give them space if they're not ready for it, because pressuring them to see someone might put them off. Instead, reassure them that you'll support whatever decision they make. The last thing you could do is to educate yourself on what you think they might be experiencing. For example, anxiety, depression, or grief. This doesn't give you the right to prescribe or diagnose anything. It just might give you a better understanding of the treatment and support options available. Of course, there's no perfect or easy answer because everyone is so different. Just keep in mind, the best way is to offer unconditional support and understanding. If ever unsure, just start there. This was the last episode of Black Dog Diaries, and I know that I speak on behalf of everyone who shared their story when I say, we really hope we have helped, even in the smallest way. As you go off into your days, please remember to do something good for your mental health and to keep an eye on the mental health of your friends and family. Peace.